The Land Beyond. Stories, descriptions from the astral world. Original taken down in Sweden, from printed in 1910. Through an Or, from car.1908. Foreword. If someone wants to undertake a trip to a foreign country, and especially if he intends to stay there, he likes to be pre-informed of its nature and the benefits, and of the living and social conditions. Now, it's a journey that we all must sooner or later take, and from which we cannot turn back to our present circumstances. It is the journey through the portals of death to the land beyond. Would it then not be of the highest interest to learn anything about this so distant, unknown country, where it is located, and how life, conditions are there? I think many on this question is ready to answer, certainly it would be of great interest, but who can give information about it? From the dead turn no back, and the living do not reach out there. In general, such is the case, but in all times there have been a few seers with the ability to peer into obscurity, and especially in our days, though this is written more than 100 years ago, have for some receptive minds, a small tab been lifted of the veil which separates the invisible world from the visible. In all countries have also messengers from the other side rushed through the veil and by the means they have at their disposal, given people some of their experiences. The literature is rich in such testimony. One such voice has made itself heard in the following little work. Regarding its creation, I feel I should mention that it is dictated, or more terms, written down consciously under direct influence of a discarnated intelligence, which therefore speaks in the first person. It is not a word-for-word rendered dictation, but it is the person on the other side giving the thoughts, reproduced by his secretary words. Much of what is written is doubtless inspired by these invisible intelligences, but in most cases, the one holding the pen is not aware of this inspiration. He believes it to be his own thoughts he writes down and that he or she is rightly the author. Otherwise is the case, when the writer is aware of this influence and can distinguish between their own and the dictating spirit's thoughts. Then he is only a secretary. The invisible intelligence is the author. So this work must also be assessed. One note, as most likely all will do, who read this book, I want, in a few words beforehand dash to meet. It will be said that these stories are all too tangible, too earth-like to be true. The spirit world must surely still be quite different from the physical world, something that we simply cannot understand. Yes, it's true, the world, which is located above the physical plane, is in many ways so different from earth, to our comprehension, which lacks concepts, and our language lacks expression of certain aspects of the conditions that prevails there. They become for us while we walk in the flesh, always an enigma, and prepare us always a surprise, when we first open up our eyes to a different world. But in other respects, are the conditions there and here so alike, that all that exists here, even in one form or another is found there. It has often been said, that the physical world alone is an incarnation of the astral, a densification or crystallization in the matter of the models, which houses the astral world. The astral world is the original, the physical copies. As FX a car, must in every detail be thought of, planned or constructed in the thought form I am drawn before made physical. Rorum. The matter, substance of each world is infinitely different, but the external forms are very similar. In the first respect they are hardly comparable, in the latter they are fully comparable. What then is then more natural, than the books we obtain about the country other world, get to be about the conditions that resemble the earth, and for which we thus take both concepts and expression, while the other, the purely supernatural, must become us a mysterious terra incognita. Stockholm in December 1909. Oscar Busch. A few words about cosmos and its construction. Infinite as space, is also the creation, filling the same. In the rambling ranks orbits solar systems beyond solar systems, each individually a physically and mechanically finished completely, apparently independent of other similar entities, and yet keep them all together as members of one great body, all dependent upon each other, all influencing each other by forces that in our time, ca 110 years ago, and still are. Rorem, science is only partially and very imperfectly able to perceive. Theories of the grandiose mechanism succeed one another, but there is a big, wide universe common central sun, around which planetary systems and nebulas in eternity, along paths are looping. Though it is said that such a central sun is not needed, the center around which this rotate might as well be a floating point, an imaginary world, whose gravity force alone is the resultant of all the real worlds through their respective loads of attraction. But so are the hypotheses concerning the large works of the cosmic clocks or mechanism, not exhausted. New such schools arise as far as the occult, cosmic/hidden/universal, knowledge makes new progress. For the next great discovery, which in this area will be made, that is, that there are other forces than gravity and its corollaries, centrifugal and centripetal forces, which here run their game, magnetic and electric, and indeed astral forces, of whom the latter, science still does not have a clue. Only when they get tracks on those, can schools of new hypotheses be made, new tracks broken for astronomy, the highest of all exact sciences. Until then, we all go blundering and wandering, and must, if we want to be honest, admit our deep ignorance. Only one we should hold as an axiom: the universe is a coherent movement, where all worlds, how infinitely different in space they may be, intervene in each other like cogs in a big mechanism. To suppose otherwise, would be to set the coincidence, chance, in the high seat. If I thus, for my small part, realize that there are subtle, yet for science unknown forces, which influence on the celestial mechanism and without whom this unsatisfactory can be explained, I am by no means ready to present any theory or hypothesis for the same. That requires deeper studies than I conducted, greater knowledge than I possess. I have only, as an introduction to what I really want to talk about, the astral spheres around the planet. Thought I will draw attention, that the cosmos becomes us an unsolved mystery, until we penetrate into the astral world's secrets, before we come to know the forces which act, and who through the astral matter influence on the physical. The similarity between a world globe and a human. Even the fact that there are astral world globes, which are quite unknown to Earth astronomers, show how Paul was right when he said, "We see so little, and understand so little." Our earthly scientists see only one side of creation, who is dressed in physical matter. They have, with a few exceptions, not even got as far as to admit that man beside his physical body, also has an astral body that survives physical death and represent her clothing when she crossed the line and become citizens of a higher world, the astral. But long will it not be, before materialism is forever defeated. It is already in its death spasms, and an old truth lives up again and go conquering the world, namely, that man after death survive in an area, for the physical eye invisible body, as she already during his, her earthly life, is wearing a robe below the physical. Regarding the illustration shown here in web book, Russian dolls are a good example to illustrate the different bodies that we carry into each other, albeit on different dimensions and density levels. One shell dies but the interior takes over. It was this invisible, astral body, which Paul called soul. There are thus two kinds of human beings, those who walk on the earth, dressed in both astral and physical bodies, and those who reside on the astral plane, only dressed in an astral body. Or, as they tend to put it simpler, there are both incarnate and discarnate people. The innermost core of a human being, whether she is on the earth or on the astral plane, is the spirit, an emanation of God, the universe creator and sustainer. He/she/it, that lives in all, and yet is so far above the universe, that he of no thought can be fully understood. This truth, which so far is only covered by a few spiritually awakened people, is now about to make its foray into the world as a generally recognized fact. It will grow out of severe pains of childbirth, by which the people will come to writhe in pain, and at the same time great social upheavals will happen, but this is not the place to that effect prophesy. Comma, a real correct prophecy was this, as it was written down before 1. World War IE Book Pub. In 1910. Rune Comment 2013. The truth, which next will be revealed, is almost regarded as a corollary of the former and read thus, even world globes are built of both physical and astral matter, although they have in their physical body an astral body, which is the power source for the spheres slash earth ball s life. And as man at death throws away the physical body and survives in the astral, which Paul called a transfigured body, so can a world globe die, its physical materiality falls apart, a truth that even astronomy recognize, but it does not end to exist, it survives as an astral globe, invisible to incarnate astronomers' gaze. Just as there are incarnate and discarnate humans, so there are also incarnate and discarnate world globes. This is just logic. Dr. Martinus and his logic cosmology on the theme life on higher spiral circulations. Rorum. But the parallelism between humans and world globe does not stop there, it goes even further. Just as man after a longer or shorter time on the astral plane, for its further development, is again attracted into matter and assumes a physical body, reincarnated, so to even the astral globes again incur physical matter and thus again appear on the physical plane theater, as visible suns, planets or moons, therefore, in the fullest sense reincarnated. If also this parallel is quite accurate, there however, quite naturally a very big difference in regard to the lifespan for a human and a world globe. The latter is of such an enormous extent that it cannot be measured with standard measure of time. Just as the distances in space outside the solar system, to be taken, not can be measured by our usual measures of length, but for this purpose have had to resort to a new unit length of such a staggering degree, as the length the light travels in a year, it has been called a light year, so also must the planetary life, to be understood, taken, be measured by a unit of time, which is related to ours year, like light years relates to the mile. This unit, normal lifespan of a living life ball planet, is not yet defined by science, of the simple reason that the planetary biology and life on those other levels, is still a completely unknown science. The highest man, along that road, have come, is to an idea that even the world globes are subject to birth and death. Our ignorance of these pieces, themes, are neither not much to wonder about. All knowledge is in the rule based on the experiences, and how would we be able to possess any experiences on the changes, which extends over such vast periods of time? By its very nature, the level of knowledge about this, we may be able to obtain, must be out of authority of anybody. Intelligences, which stand infinitely higher than us and whose skills have a depth and extent of which we are unable to make us a concept, a superiority, which is many times greater than that which the Earth's most learned astronomer possesses. They are always ready to seek human spirits communicating to, so much of their knowledge, which they can receive and assimilate. But they do not persuade the knowledge on others or require immediate being believed. They just say, so it seems to us, but do not receive our opinion that a complete truth, employ it only as a working hypothesis, which can be confirmed or contradicted, it can stand or fall. Well, though I by no means am an intelligence of rank, I here suggested, but only an applicant human spirit, which is wondering and inquiring before the cosmos many mysteries, so I here would like to seek to give new comments, from which I think these riddles must be considered, in order to eventually be resolved. The first and most important is the already implied, that the cosmos is composed not only of the gigantic creation of physical planets, suns, moons and comets, as Earth people with their eyes and their optical instruments can perceive, but also of an even richer collection of astral world globe, which also revolve in strictly lawful paths around in astral solar systems by merely astral matter, and with the physical worlds around the suns, built of both physical and astral matter. Surely exist worlds of still higher order, built of even finer matter, but I will not speak of that now, I stick to the astral plane. World globe, Earth's physical death and resurrection. Everything on the physical plane is subject to dissolution or rather transformation into new forms, not even suns and planets are to exempt. Our solar system consists, as we all know, of a central body, the Sun, and around her circling planets, asteroids, moons and comets whose paths, size and rotation periods have been with all desirable accuracy specified, all built of both physical and astral matter. But thus are not all members of our planetary family registered. There is also inside the planet family, what we from the earthly point of view could call dead children. Planets and moons, who once had a physical, living body, but who left it and now only appear in astral form. Thus, for example, has, as astronomers quite really believe, existed between Mars and Jupiter, a large plane, which is now in mortal eyes disappeared. Its physical matter is not destroyed, nothing is destroyed, and also not completely dissolved into for us invisible gases. But like a dead human body disintegrates and dissolves into gases and in solids, long resisting decay, so also the dead planet physical body has fallen apart and left behind a lot of solid fragments, which are now in the shape of asteroids are scattered within this belt, where the former planet was wandering its metered path. But this is not all of the planet's story, it has seeded from the physical plane seen path, but now appears on the astral plane in the transfigured body, it continues as astral orb in its orbit around the Sun, which by the astral mass still leads its freed children. Similarly circuits also around our Earth, an astral moon, invisible to Earth humans, but visible to us, who ourselves belong to the astral plane. For us we see the astral moon even clearer than the physical, for we see with the astral eyes and understand why the only astral construct is fully tactile and real, whereas the astral matter that is encapsulated in, and therefore, as it were clouded by physical matter, for us is slightly darker. Where has this moon's physical materials gone? Do those still revolve, as small diminutive world globes or miniature moons, around the Earth? It is possible that this is to a part possible, but certainly they are so small that they could not be caught by astronomers' searching glances. Today, 100 years later, some can be traced. Rorem, it is also possible, yes, certainly the relationship with the vast majority of smaller fragments. They wandered and wander into space as wayward vagabonds, attracted hither, thither, until perhaps struck by a meteor on Earth or sucked into any of the planetary mosquito swarms, which we call comets. Surely there is in our solar system, several such astral world globes, those I do not know, but it is also not my intention to give here a complete list of them, or at all to explain the building of the astral solar system. I only wanted to draw attention to the existence of these astral globes, without whose knowledge, we will never learn to properly understand the cosmos. Astral world globes are mentioned also in the remarkable book OSP by J. Benubru. O.B. One may wonder, how is it that a few balls in the planetary family die sooner than others? It seems not to be the size, that is the controlling force, because, of the examples I have cited, one was a planet, and the other a moon. Nor, it seems the age, since we surely can venture the supposition that a planet between Mars and Jupiter must have taken a position in the system. But aren't either relationship similar in the human family? There is not the size or the age, which determines whom are in line to move over to the astral plane. One is harvested in its full manhood, the other as a diluted child, while the elderly may go and wait for liberation. And just as we are not, at our present position, to get on the trail of a law for the length of human life, as little, yes even smaller is it possible for understanding the planetary life and its incalculable measure of time. Here we are, as in so many other cases, in front of a mystery that will have to wait for their solution. World globe, Earth's reincarnation. Is the issue of world globe, Earth's so-called death, an intractable problem, where we are only able to touch with parallels and hypotheses, the question about their rebirth, their appearance again on the physical plane, is yet more obscure. It seems, but I cannot express any definite opinion, as if Kant-Laplace theory of the world's creation, how well it seems to explain the purely physical process, is not enough to solve the whole problem, as viewed from astral standpoint, and also includes the world's, planet's rebirth. Here we hardly come beyond resolving concerns. Hypotheses regarding the lapse of such a reincarnation are not missing, but although I have devoted quite much time to the study of such, I have not been able to find anyone which seems quite satisfactory to me. The most appealing and also which have won the most recognition, is based on the experimental spiritualism with the materialization phenomenon. A human being on the astral plane, thus wearing an astral body, can, as we know, under certain favorable conditions, take up or attract the right etheric matters from the medium, and from present Earth human physical bodies, and some even from the atmosphere, take in and such compose for himself a physical body. Thus, by an act of will, and of perfect spiritual impulse, an astral man can temporarily assume a physical body of the same kind of matter, as of the Earth human's flesh and blood. She cannot keep it, it's true. It dissolves very quickly, but it's also quite natural, when its main components are alone of a medium and of the seance participants, alone which must be returned, if not the medium will die in the process. But the duration of the phenomenon, is of secondary role, the main thing is that by an act of will, one materialization can be brought about. There is then, natural to assume that the materialization should be able to endure, if the material, of which it was conducted, were not alone, which must be returned, without being one's own property, of his disposal, which furthermore possessed this capacity. This is also confirmed by experience. Such skills cannot be made by without training, but the high masters, who are humanity's pioneers and leaders, have through long development stages, eventually gained such knowledge and such a mastery over nature, that they can live alternately on the physical and alternately on a higher plane, or in other words, that they are at will able to dissolve their physical body and redensify it, provided always that the wonderful thread that binds it to the physical life, is not broken. Should this be the case, they must be born again in the flesh as the child of an earthly mother. Well, if now an astral man, not only temporarily but for a long time, may take on a physical body and then leave or put it off, why should not also an astral world globe, planet do the same, to incur a physical material body and form a physical world globe? The willpower that would perform such a materialization, for it will have to be brought into action, as the engine, can come from an outside intelligence, as the globe, planet's own guardian spirit, whose power is in proportion to the work he performs. So, why not from the eternal source herself? He or she, it who never ceases and certainly will and can never stop creating. But whence collect material for such a materialization? Because the matter must surely be from somewhere. From nothing comes nothing. Alas, the cosmos is full of stuff. Why should not FX asteroids, those of the disrupted planet's debris, or even finer distributed matter, be converted into a physical envelope around some astral planet or globe? But how the actual process is occurring, which laws of nature is used, of that we are in similar ignorance as regarding the course of a normal materialization. There is nothing in this theory, which violates the laws of thought. But that's not why I said it is correct. Its strength is that it is so logically joins the parallel between people and a planet, world globe, between microcosm and macrocosm, yes, exactly as the logic cosmology of Martinus, 1890-1981, similar to L and R. Rorem, which takes so many similarities, but its weakness is that it requires the universe intervention, one would almost say disturbing, volition. What do we know about the laws that regulate the relationship between the physical and the astral matter? What do we know of these subjects' inner nature? Let us stop for a moment with the question, What is physical and what is astral matter? This issue marks a new point of view for Earth humans to consider. What physical matter is that we always have in front, we believe to know, even if we do not have a clue about its essence. But we have arrived at its tracks, and with the help of this knowledge, we utilize matter's opportunities, and increasingly, the longer we penetrate into the secrets of nature. Ourselves bound by this matter, we feel at home in the world of matter and establish us there in the best way. For us, the physical matter in a solid, tangible reality, which in our hands can change the shape and shade, but not to the extent that can be transformed, that it completely evades our powers of observation. It should then be no wonder the hypothesis, as more and more begins to make itself felt, that the matter would only be a temporary manifestation of vibration and thus basically an illusion. This appears to us as a philosophical speculation unsupported by experience, without confirmation from the exact science. Yes, as this has the question been in our times, but, mind you, now have an experience seeped its way to give a strong support to the hypothesis. What has happened since? Well, not once, but countless times at spiritualistic seances, has fixed objects, without changing shape, penetrated right through each other, so that objects that found themselves at a great distance from the closed seance room, fell down on the table in front of the participant's eyes. This fact is now so clear that only those who do not wish to see, and they are yet in the overwhelming majority, deny its possibility. But some have been honest enough to not deny what they witnessed with their own eyes. They have also set up hypotheses for the phenomenon as explanatory. When Professor Zoner 1834-1882, during a seance with the medium Slade, witnessed a seashell, which he placed under a silk handkerchief on the table, fell across the table and down to the floor and then was found unharmed but burning hot. His experiments began in December 1877. He was assisted by William Edward Weber, a professor of physics, W. Sibner, a professor of mathematics, and Gustav Theodor Fechner, a professor of physics who, to quote Zoner's words, became, in quotation marks, perfectly convinced of the reality of the observed facts, altogether excluding imposture or prestidigation. Professor Ficht, of Stuttgart, and Professor Earl Riese, of Halle, also endorsed the experiments that were further supported by an affidavit of Belakin, the conjurer at the court of Berlin. The evidential value of the investigation was somewhat weakened by Zoner's insistence on the theory of fourth dimension as an explanation of the theory itself. The astronomer G. V. Schiaparelli wrote in a letter to Camille Flammarion, "It is the most ingenious and probable that can be imagined." According to this theory, mediumistic phenomena would lose their mystic or mystifying character and would pass into the domain of ordinary physics and physiology. They would lead to a very considerable extension of the sciences, an extension such that their author would deserve to be placed side by side with Galileo and Newton. Unfortunately, these experiments of Zoner were made with a medium of poor reputation. He resorted to his hypothesis of, in quotation marks, space of fourth dimension, a statement which was even more incomprehensible than that which could be explained. Professor William Crookes produced a hypothesis of a fourth state of aggregation, which he called ray substance, and thus came closer to the truth. However, the hypothesis is not included as ray substance and would be a new substance form, in series with the three already known. Then Zoner's seashell penetrated the table. This cannot be explained by a resolution into a thinner substance form and a condensing back again to the solid form. A piece of ice can certainly be melted, assume gaseous form and condensed to water and then to ice. However, the original ice piece form has been lost and can never be recovered. Zoner's seashell, however, was completely undamaged. Yes, what is more, it provides examples of living flowers, and even a living human being, having been, in this way, moved from one house to another and which ended up in a room with closed doors.